Ever wondered why American military forces always seem so heroic on screen? Since 1947, the Pentagon has maintained entertainment liaison offices specifically designed to shape film narratives, with the CIA establishing its own Hollywood office in 1996. Their combined influence is staggering. Over 2,500 entertainment products have received direct government assistance, fundamentally altering how Americans perceive their military and intelligence agencies. This isn't just creative storytelling, it's calculated influence hiding in plain sight at your local theater. The relationship works through a simple exchange. Filmmakers get access to equipment, locations, and personnel that would otherwise cost millions, while the Pentagon gets script approval rights. The scale is breathtaking. 814 films and 1,133 television titles have received Pentagon support, from obvious war films to surprising productions like American Idol and Cupcake Wars. Even seemingly trivial changes serve ideological purposes. For Jurassic Park 3, the Pentagon leveraged a dinosaur battle scene request to secure a nice military rescue ending and change a military character to a civilian. While less visible than the Pentagon's influence, the CIA's Hollywood footprint runs surprisingly deep. Their entertainment liaison office, established in 1996, presents itself as merely providing authenticity to productions. The reality? They've been actively shaping their public image through film since their inception. Chase Brandon, the CIA's entertainment liaison officer from 1996 to 2006, and cousin of actor Tommy Lee Jones, provided input on numerous productions, including Enemy of the State, The Bourne Identity, and Charlie Wilson's War. His influence extended beyond technical consultation. He persuaded writers to incorporate specific storylines and technologies, even non-existent ones like airport biometric scanners that could identify terrorists, justifying it because terrorists watch TV too. The CIA's approach to Zero Dark Thirty reveals their content control methods. When screenwriter Mark Boal and director Kathryn Bigelow received unprecedented access to CIA officials, they agreed to share scripts to ensure the agency was absolutely comfortable with their portrayal. Officials requested numerous changes, removing a scene with a drunk CIA officer, modifying torture scenes, and making the protagonist less involved in prisoner torture, despite her real-life counterpart being known as the Queen of Torture. Curiously, they made no objection to the film's central claim that torture led to finding bin Laden, though the acting director later publicly stated this impression was false. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, the most commercially successful movie franchise ever, has been significantly shaped by Pentagon involvement. Three of the six films in the MCU's first phase received full Department of Defense cooperation, fundamentally altering these blockbusters. Iron Man, the first proper MCU film, underwent radical transformation through military influence. An early 2004 draft featured Tony Stark opposing his father's weapons business while developing peaceful technologies. Tony repeatedly stated no military contracts and created the Iron Man suit specifically to fight against the military-industrial complex. The script directly criticized the arms industry as seeking nothing less than the restoration of order to the world. By filming time, the script had been completely overhauled. Tony's pacifism became a brief flirtation rather than a core conviction. His sidekick, Rhodes, changed from Stark Industries security chief to a U.S. Air Force liaison. The film's core message transformed into, "There are always going to be weapons, so aren't you glad our weapons are better than the enemy's?" A complete reversal from the original script's anti-war stance. Black Hawk Down exemplifies how Pentagon influence transforms nuanced source material into military propaganda. While Mark Bowden's original book sensitively portrayed the 1993 Mogadishu raid with complex Somali characters and documented troubling U.S. military behavior, the film adaptation completely inverts this perspective. The film erases complexity, portraying American forces as morally pristine warriors following strict rules of engagement while fighting savage enemies. The Somali fighters are depicted almost exclusively through night vision scopes or distant aerial shots, dehumanizing them into an undifferentiated hostile mass. The filmmakers removed scenes of military misconduct at Pentagon request and changed character names to hide uncomfortable realities like one ranger's conviction for child rape. Despite director Ridley Scott claiming every war movie is an anti-war movie, the film's Washington premiere was attended by military and political figures including Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, revealing its true audience and purpose. The film's release timing, shortly after 9/11, further amplified its message of American military superiority and righteousness. Charlie Wilson's War presents itself as examining Operation Cyclone, the CIA's largest ever covert operation arming Afghan Mujahideen against Soviet forces. However, comparing early screenplay drafts with the final release reveals systematic sanitization protecting powerful interests. The original script documented CIA support flowing to extremist warlords like Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, who maintained close ties to Osama bin Laden and operated an extensive heroin trafficking network. Early drafts contained direct references to CIA funding reaching Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups, but these were systematically removed. Perhaps most significantly, the original ending showed Wilson hearing the impact of the 9/11 attack on the Pentagon, drawing a direct line between U.S. policy decisions and their consequences. Despite these alterations, the film received praise from establishment figures. Former Bush administration speechwriter Michael Johns lauded it as capturing the most important lesson of America's Cold War victory, while the CIA's Hollywood liaison endorsed it as a genuinely positive portrayal of CIA accomplishment. Paul Verhoeven represents a rare voice in Hollywood, creating commercially successful sci-fi spectacles while embedding sharp criticism of American militarism and corporate power. RoboCop 1987 serves as a scathing critique of Reagan-era America, particularly privatization of public services and unchecked corporate power. OCP, the corporate conglomerate running Detroit's police force, represents the ultimate extension of privatization, which Verhoeven explicitly described as very close to fascism. Starship Troopers 1997 takes this satirical approach further, creating a mordant critique of a fascist future society waging war against alien insects. The film's brilliant satire includes a recruiting officer, a triple amputee proudly declaring, "Mobile infantry made me the man I am today," offering stark contrast to heroic wounded warrior narratives in military-supported films. Verhoeven later revealed they only secured the massive budget because Sony Pictures was experiencing management upheaval, allowing them to complete the film without typical oversight. Despite national security state influence, corporate owners typically have freedom to operate outside ideological controls. They just rarely choose to do so. The Big Six studios control most content, pushing safe narratives that don't challenge power. Product placement has become a billion-dollar industry, with films like Man of Steel earning $170 million from over 100 placements. Foreign governments, particularly China, exert increasing influence through investments and market access. The solution may be simpler than advocating for more critical films. Government files on Hollywood cooperation should be public, and studios should declare such cooperation in opening credits. This transparency would likely end national security entertainment as viewers recognize propaganda for what it is, a deliberate attempt to shape our perceptions of American power. Next time you watch a military-themed blockbuster, ask yourself, who wrote this story? The filmmaker or the Pentagon? The answer might change how you see not just the movie, but the world it portrays.